It's time for Ask Dale Anything, the show that answers your most perplexing questions with profound answers from one of the top transformational teachers and leaders on the planet, Dale Holloway. I'm your host, Mickey Manning, Dale's left-hand person, as I like to call it, and I've never heard a question that he can't answer. He's been doing this for over 40 years now, and he truly has an answer that's profound and helpful on any topic. So with that, let's get into today's question. All right. So, Dale, I have a great question from Sarah in California. Now, before we get started with Sarah's question here, I just want to remind everyone of our best question bonus giveaway. That is an ongoing drawing that we have. You can enroll and enter yourself quite easily in this drawing. All you have to do is send in your question to askdale@askdaleanything.com. That's askdale@askdaleanything.com. And you'll get your question put in the queue to be answered by Dale and enrolled in this drawing to win one of Dale's transformational life courses that could change your life for the better. And with that, let's get back to Sarah's question. Now, Dale, I love this question because this is this came on the heels of a seminar that you did that Sarah attended. And so obviously, I think this answer that you give could really help a lot of people. And I'm excited about asking it. So Sarah says, any suggestions as to how to calm the ego down when it tries to distract me when I'm learning or improving myself?
Yes. So Sarah, there's a couple of things here that you want to at least be aware of. Number one, you want to take a look at that pattern of distraction. So if the ego can set up a distraction for us that we literally step into by basically by buying into it, next thing you know, we're completely distracted from what it is we're really to be doing. Well, what that also implies is that we have a lower energy pattern of distraction. And what that means is that the ego has a little more power here. In other words, the ego gets to be a little more successful, shall we say, on getting us distracted, because it knows through that of its own intelligence that there's a pattern that exists within us, subconsciously speaking, to distract. So when that pattern activates or gets triggered, right, what that means is we just naturally kind of thing, or quickly, and if we're not paying attention to this, we'll find ourselves just going in for the distraction, whatever the distraction is. Of course, if the pattern is running the show, there's a chance we're not even going to be aware that's what's happening until we're well in the process of having been distracted. So like with every pattern has a beginning, it has a middle, and then it has an end point to it. That's its cycle. And then once it's done with its cycle, then it just simply repeats again at some later point, beginning, middle, end. And so if the pattern is there and the ego is specifically using distraction as a way to get us to stop moving towards something that perhaps we're really to be moving towards, then the ego is not just going to create the influence. The ego is going to take full advantage of that lower energy pattern of distraction. So that's why I say the first thing here is we want to become mindful of the potentiality of this as a pattern. How do we know if we've had this as a pattern? When it comes to distraction, over, say, the last 90 days, the last 3 months, how many times have we been distracted? How many times have we been distracted from the very thing that we know in our bones that we're really to be doing, yet we didn't do that, rather we went for the distraction, whatever the distraction was? If it turns out that over the last 90 days, you've been distracted, you know, more than a handful of times, then you can be assured you have a pattern. So it's not just the ego now that's actually distracting you. It's the pattern that's being used as a way to not just distract you, but then to keep you into that distraction flow, that distraction dynamic that has that beginning, middle, and end. So with every time we go for a distraction, that distraction could, quite frankly, go on for a couple hours. That distraction could go on for a couple of days, as in that beginning, middle, and end. So I might have gone for a distraction 3 days ago that I'm just coming out on the end point of that particular pattern of distraction. So basically for the last 3 days, I've been keeping myself distracted from doing the very thing that I know in my bones, I know in my heart, I know in my soul, I know in my mind that I'm ready to be doing. So you could say I've just wasted 3 days. Now, I don't want to beat up on myself. I don't want to make myself wrong for this, because that doesn't do anything productive either. But I do want to recognize it, and I want to get better at recognizing this, because until I get better at actually recognizing this pattern and acknowledging it as a pattern, it's probably going to hang around for a while. Yet, if I was to get better at recognizing it, now I'm on my way to ultimately clearing out the pattern. Now, the ego in of itself, if I have a pattern of distracting, the ego is going to do everything it knows how to do with its own level of intelligence and the power that I've given it over a period of time to use that against me in a way to make sure that I don't clear out the pattern. Another way of saying the same thing, my ego, my smart ego, my intelligent ego is going to be clever here and come up with at least one or two things to see if I will back off on this idea of clearing out the pattern of distraction. So if I start to get better at recognizing this pattern, part of getting better at recognizing that pattern is also part in getting better at recognizing, there's my ego again, trying to distract me from getting better at recognizing this lower energy pattern. Because the truth is, if I get really good at recognizing this pattern, if I also become really good at acknowledging this pattern, taking ownership for this pattern, this in itself becomes a game changer in the best of ways. So to that point, the ego is going to do everything it knows how to do to distract us from getting better at recognizing, to distract us from getting better at acknowledging and taking ownership of this pattern. Because the ultimate goal here would be to clear out that pattern. Clear out that pattern, and now you've made it extra difficult for your ego to continue to influence the distraction in that of your own day-to-day world.
You know, Dale, this question just brings back memories of when I first started working for you. My ego was masterful at coming up with distractions, and suddenly I'd have to go get the printing or do this, or all under the guise of work, you know, but every time we correlated later, it was always something that I really needed to hear. And suddenly my ego would find this like, oh, got to do this, and yeah, have the best excuse because it was work related. Yeah. But suddenly I'm not hearing what I need to be hearing. And of course, we've laughed about this many times years yeah later, because I've been working with you for almost 5 years now. Isn't that crazy?
Yes, I know.
But early on, it was amazing the different things that I would feel completely justified yeah to need to leave the room for when I was in a learning environment and really needed to hear what you had to yeah say.
Well, you know, it's interesting because once you choose to get a handle on this, you'll start off where some of your distractions are just so almost painfully obvious. And as you start to clear out some of those, meaning you're getting a real good handle on it, you're really coming into a state of recognition of this. Then the next step is some of the distractions become very subtle. and they're not as easy to spot. They're not as easy to recognize. That's why I often use that phrase in my teaching of this, is that you're getting better at recognizing, then you get really good at recognizing. Nobody goes from 0 to 100 overnight. If you're not good at recognizing this pattern, assuming that you have this pattern, if you're not good at recognizing this pattern just yet, there's a whole process. You'll go through a couple of different stages. And obviously the last stage, you can't get to the last stage until you've done the second stage, and you can't get to the second stage until you've done the first stage, right? All makes sense. Of course it does. So this also can be somewhat even exciting, because you're learning something about yourself. It most certainly can be enlightening, to the point of where you're like fascinated, like, holy cow, I just went for another distraction. I didn't even see it coming. And yet now it's so obvious to me. I can see it crystal clear. Like, holy cow, when Dale talks about that ego being that tricky little devil within, I have really got one trickster that's been residing within me. And up until today, I've never even seen it as such. Yeah, of course, because you've been tricked. You were tricked to not see this ego as in that tricky little devil within, until you start to recognize, until you're able to see it again. And so that's why getting to this lower energy pattern of distraction is such a significant piece here for you, Sarah, to get a better handle on your ego, helping to settle your ego down, helping to calm your ego down. Because as long as that pattern is there, and more specifically, as long as you are in a state of non-recognition, or you are unaware of that pattern when that pattern has just been triggered or activated again. In other words, you're completely under the influence of that pattern, but you're not aware of it. That's when your ego is gonna spin out. That's where your ego is gonna have a heyday, right? Whereas as you get better at recognizing this, that in itself, maybe not at the beginning, but somewhere in the not too distant future, your ego will start to slow down. Your ego will start to calm down, because your ego, again, in its own intelligence, will start to spot that you're now on to the game. You're now on it. And once it knows that you're on it, it'll still play with you a little bit, but more than likely in a relatively short period of time, it's going to shift gears and it's going to go after another one of your patterns, a different pattern. It's going to use something else, right? Because that's part of what it does. But until that time, the ego is always going to be there using it, until it knows. And the only way it's going to know is when you know, and you know that you know, because now you're in this higher, greater state of recognition. And when that happens, that's when your ego gets the full-on message. Well, can't trick her anymore on this one. So then the ego starts to reroute itself to another part of your existence as a way to still maintain that power. But at this juncture, I mean, you've made some major headway here to be able to come to that place along your journey where you've just gotten really good at recognizing only moments after that pattern gets triggered, or better yet, maybe even moments just before the pattern's about to trigger again, and you're able to catch it. Because once you catch it, because now you recognize it, now you can actually do something that's really constructive and even transformational about that pattern, or with that pattern.
You know, I think this is a good time to bring up our classroom rules. And it's great to mention them, because so many people do different types of online participation, whether they're in a meeting online or whether they're actually taking a class online. And it's so easy to have a million distractions around you. So I just wanted to touch on some of our classroom rules for a moment and have you speak to those, because they are some of the most common, obviously, which is why we have them as rules. And I remember one day I actually said, I asked them if they would be so kind as to do this or something like that. And you were like, no, you need to do this. I mean, it wasn't right. Like, we're not asking, we're telling.
Yeah. Well, it's so important that at some point what happens, if you're really going to get to this, you've got to cut out all the wiggle room. There can be no wiggle room. I mean, again, you're dealing with a tricky little devil within you, known as your ego. Your ego has tricks up its sleeves are up its sleeve that, quite frankly, would probably blow your mind if you knew all the tricks for real now, and how it can actually trick you, right? So if you're one of those that likes to give wiggle room, not that it's bad, it's just that just know in advance that in this case, your ego is going to use that wiggle room. It's going to take full advantage of it. But that's you giving it the wiggle room, which really means that's you not understanding what's at play here just yet. So when we come into class, I've been at this for a long, long time now, and I've done thousands of seminars now in different countries. And so, you know, this is, you know, when somebody says, well, no, we'd prefer that if you didn't do this, right? There's wiggle room in that statement. And so it doesn't matter who's in the room. In this case, Mickey's saying it at least used to be her. And then I'll interject. I'll do it nicely, mind you, but I will interject because that's giving wiggle room. And so, for example, one of our guidelines in class, when we're in class, we don't snack on food. Yes. We don't snack on M&Ms. We don't snack on licorice. We don't snack on nuts. We don't snack on fruit. We don't snack on anything when we're in session. And we don't do it for this reason. Number one, if you have to take your snack out of a wrapper, as you are making the sound of breaking the wrapper open, what you don't know is everybody in the class hears you. Everybody hears it, no matter how quiet you are, no matter how you try to do it underneath the table, you know, that's all draped so nobody can see it, but everybody can hear it. You could be literally 100 feet away from me and I can hear it. I'm at the front of the room, right?
One wrapper piece every 2 minutes, real yes. They'll know.
Right? And then not to mention, once you start, especially if it's nuts, and you start chomping on the nuts or M&Ms, see, you're thinking that nobody can hear you. Well, clearly your next door neighbor, the person that's sitting to the left of you, the person that's sitting to the right of you, the person that's sitting in front of you, the person that's sitting behind you, they can all hear you. They're just being nice. They meaning they want to say something because it's now distracting to them. They're really focused. They're learning something that's of value to them in that moment. And there, this person is chomping on these nuts, thinking that nobody can hear them. So that's more the external. Now the internal, what happens with this person that's got to have a snack while we're in actual session, what that person doesn't realize, it's an unconscious distraction because something's about to occur for them. They're about to learn something. They're about to uncover something. They're about to possibly get activated, meaning some of their own energies that's been stuck inside of them gets activated. But they don't know that. So what happens is they drop unconscious, the ego steps in and right away goes to the snack. Because now the snack is not just potentially going to be distractive and disruptive to people around them in class, but simultaneously, and more importantly, this is a distraction to that of themselves and their own process that they're currently in. So as I always say, and everybody always laughs, you know, when I do this, you know, we'll take a break approximately every hour and a half to 2 hours. And I don't know of anybody on planet Earth, because sometimes people will say to me, you know, well, I need to be eating all the time. Well, all the time? Like, what's going on here? Because I don't know of anybody, no one, who has starved to death from choosing to not eat any food for 2 hours. No one. And so in this case, you know, the person sometimes is acting, again, talk about a trick of their ego. Their ego's got them so convinced that they have to eat every hour, or they just have to eat for the sake of eating because it gives them something to do. Well, in that something to do, it then causes a distraction from what it is perhaps they really are to be doing or what it is they really are to be experiencing. So in class, this is just one of our guidelines. And I'm you know, really solid on it for the reasons that I'm talking about. And then of course, then we go to break and have at it, whatever your snacks are. whatever they are, go and enjoy, and hopefully you'll savor them. Some people don't even savor them. They wolf them down so fast. It's like amazing. It's not even about the snack. It's like they're, in this case, they're using the snack, again, talk about a distraction, to distract themselves from something that's potentially coming up for them, you see. And so, but that said, you know, we always encourage to at least enjoy the snack during your break. Enjoy it and savor it and so on and so forth. But save the snacks for the break time, not during the session time. So that's just one of the examples here and where it gets played out, where, you know, you give any kind of wiggle room. And if that ego is strong within that individual, this you can be assured, at least from my experience throughout the decades of having done this now, you can be assured that that person's ego will take full advantage of that little bit of wiggle room that you just gave that person with regard to a little space where they can, the ego can get in there and influence some kind of a distraction.
Well, I'm actually glad that you said that, because I didn't even realize that I had kind of given them wiggle room. I normally don't. So that one time that I said, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm glad he said something, because you're absolutely right. Now, you know, the other thing I want to touch on though is what people choose to eat, because while we're on this topic and giving advice for anybody that's trying to put themselves in a learning environment, what they eat, how it can affect them after the fact. So like when we've come back from lunch and you sort of advised everybody, you know, eat something light so you come back and you don't feel heavy or get groggy. And we had people truly falling asleep in class. And this happened time and time again, even after your guidance in not doing that. So obviously there's a reason to be mindful of what you eat if you want to be able to stay alert to learn.
Well, again, I think it comes back to the question that Sarah asked here around the ego. How do you calm the ego down? So, you know, because the ego is at play here. The ego knows you really well, just like your soul knows it. Your soul also knows you really well. So the ego knows where all your weaknesses are, where all your vulnerabilities are, where all your wiggle room exists. And now in this case, the ego is going to use it. It's going to use it to its advantage, bottom line. And one of the places, in light of what you're just sharing here now, Mickey, I see it in almost every single seminar I do, or every day that I'm doing a seminar when it comes to lunch hour. I'll give guidance and direction in just a real clear and firm and yet gentle way. And some people, it's like they didn't even hear it. They didn't even hear it. It just whoop right over their head. And they'll get to that restaurant and they'll order the types of foods that will 20 minutes later make them groggy, foods that will give them a heavy feeling in their gut. In some cases, they come back whiter than a ghost, like their skin, they lose their skin color. Other times I've seen people who come back after their lunch hour and their face gets red, their neck gets really red. That's their skin breaking out in a rash because the body is now struggling with whatever it is that they just put into their body. And that'll go on for the next half hour to an hour after they come back after lunch. Now, what's so fascinating is prior to lunch, you didn't see any of this. You didn't see them going whiter than a ghost. You didn't see the rashes, you know, flaring up. You didn't see them falling asleep. In fact, their eyes are just like really wide open and they're engaged and engrossed in what's going on all the way up until the very last minute of our, you know, morning prior to going to lunch. They're mentally alert. They're sharp. They're engaged. They're engaging. They feel like they just had the most amazing, most productive and even fun morning in light of what they've learned and discovered and what they experienced and so on and so forth. And yet an hour later, in some cases, it's like two different people. It's, they come in and they're, you know, not everybody, but I'd say probably, I don't know, 20 or 30% of the audiences just throughout the years, I'm just doing, giving an average here. Throughout the years, that 20 or 30% of them will come back after that lunch hour and they'll have something like what I just highlighted here going on. And then a couple hours later, you know, a couple hours into the afternoon session, then they start to come out of this thing And then they start getting more engaged again. They start getting a little more engrossed again, engrossed in the teachings or whatever it is that's going on in the class. And they're getting more involved and they're having a little more fun and they're being more productive and they're feeling a little better about themselves, and all those types of things. But from the lunch hour to possibly 2 hours later, I mean, it's like going through hell, at least with their physical body, because their physical body is showing all kinds of signs that something definitely is going on here. And the only thing that's different from our morning session to our afternoon session is this thing we call going out for lunch.
I remember struggling with this myself, Dale, because we went out to eat and I was like, but it was my inner child, my ego, you know, but I want this. I'm like, but no, think about what Dale said. You know, I can't have that. And there's this internal mental battle, tug of war going on about what I'm going to eat, because part of me wants the thing that's so bad. And the other one's like, no, we need to pay attention. And I'm truly watching this like I'm watching a movie happening within myself. And it finally, I got better at it. But as I was becoming more conscious of it, it could be quite comical sometimes.
Oh, and it is. And it's a great thing to also laugh at this as well. You know, to laugh at yourself, like, holy cow, look what I just did. Or better yet, I just did it again. You know, we have somebody in our network who for a while, they no longer do this anymore, but for a while, they would just constantly do the same thing over and over again. And they had an awareness around it. They were mindful of it. They had some kind of a recognition towards it. And yet there they were again. How the heck did this happen again? Well, something happened from the time you left the classroom to the time you got to the restaurant, you began to fall asleep again. You started to go unconscious. That's all that happened here. You started to go unconscious, which means that lower energy pattern to distract. It comes up center stage. This is the ego's place because of the wiggle room now. Right? This is the ego's place. Okay, now I'm going to really cause a distraction here, at least for the next couple hours of this day. And I'm going to have him go for the French fries or for the calamari, all that fried food. You know, fried food's really good for putting you to sleep, right? And if you have possible, you know, any area around skin rashes, then it can further pronounce those skin rashes. Or it can cause the, you know, the skin color to literally shift in its coloring if you get enough of that in your system. Or maybe you go after just a truckload of carbs. So instead of going for the salad, something lighter, something that's going to make you feel a little better, and more specifically, to continue on throughout your day, to have it be a productive and fun day. If that's what you're going for, good for you. But not everybody does that. Some people go, again, because of this patterning and this wiggle room from that of their ego. And next thing you know, they're being had yet again. And so should that be the case, then yeah, it is. It is a good approach. It's a healthy approach to be able to at least laugh at it. Because if you're laughing at it, that means you're not beating yourself up. You're not getting too hard on yourself, right? Because if you get too hard on yourself and you start beating yourself down for something that you know you did, it wasn't the best choice, all that's going to do, it's just going to lock it into place even more. And you're going to have an even more miserable day, or the day's going to stretch out even longer, being more miserable, instead of getting to that point where, okay, this is what I did. I did it again. I've done it for the 14th time. I now know about this, meaning I've done it for the 14th time, being somewhat conscious now. And so, yeah, I'm just going to get a little chuckle out of it. And now I'm going to have to ride it out for an hour or two so it clears through my system, my body, and then I'll kind of get back into the class and get engaged again. And I'm going to set an intention that tomorrow I'm going to do something new. I'm going to do something different when it comes to the lunch hour instead of what I did here today.
And then eventually we do, and we make the better choice.
Absolutely. Absolutely, we do.
Okay, so while we're on this topic, which is really fun, by the way, I actually love this question. The phone, that we've got to talk about the phone, because this is one of the things we ask people to do, is to either turn their phone to airplane mode, or better yet, turn it off, or even better than that, put it in the other room. Yes. And it's amazing. We'll have, if we could hear everybody's microphones, I'm sure there are people that have their phone ringing throughout your teachings that are watching us from home. But I recall specifically when we did a masterclass, and not in all of our seminars do you have everybody check their phones in, but in these master trainings, you do. And you would have thought we were asking them to cut their arm off and give it to us. I mean, it was, I remember we had one person who wanted their money back. They were not going to come when they found out that they could not have their telephone, and they truly did not attend. And the first day, it was just amazing because, I mean, people had such a hard time handing over their phone. And I decided I was going to just do a little survey on myself. And every time I thought about my phone, I put a little tally mark. At the end of the first day, I had almost a hundred from just reaching or thinking about my phone. And I thought I was pretty good about not letting my phone distract me. So this really astounded me. Now, by the third day of the Master Quest class, nobody cared about their phone anymore. It was honestly kind of a relief, and we all saw how addicted we were to it. But Dale, I thought that was just incredible, and I wanted to share that because we don't realize what a mindless distraction this is and how people are just so attached to their phone. But that, to me, is almost a bigger distraction than food is.
And for some people, it most certainly is. Or technology, as wonderful as technology can be, it can also be an incredible distraction. As wonderful as our inbox, our email is, because now we no longer have to go to, well, for the most part, we don't have to go to the post office anymore and go through the snail mail. So there is a wonderful quality about that. And yet people use their inbox as another distraction all day long in some cases. Right. So whether it's the phone as in that device, or it's the checking your inbox, 105 times a day, or it's being on social media 105 times a day, or whatever that is, again, this all comes back to that lower energy pattern of distraction. And if I still have that lower energy pattern of distraction inside of me, what that means is my ego will find something to get me hooked into that will then become the distraction. So whether that's my phone, whether that's the inbox, whether that's social media, whether that's the snacks, when I really don't need a snack. My body is just fine. In fact, if anything, my body needs a little rest from eating food for maybe 3 or 4 hours. That's what it really needs, right? But I'm not thinking about my body. I'm only thinking about whatever the next distraction is going to be. Now, I don't call it a distraction when I'm unconscious towards a distraction. So, but this distraction, in my first book in the Transformation Trilogy, Being Called to Change, which is behind me here, Being Called to Change, that in that book, I highlight 8 different ways of the ego. There's more ways of the ego, obviously, but I highlight the 8, the 8 real common ones. It doesn't matter where I go, what group I'm with, the odds are one of those 8 ways is going to manifest. One of those 8 ways is going to become really obvious every single time. And so the first way that I highlight, or that's highlighted in the book, Being Called to Change, in this particular section, is distraction. The ego, the individual ego, uses distraction in ways that it's so clever, it is so tricky, it is so manipulative, it is so secretive. It's, again, like the example you just gave of when we're in a more master-oriented training, like a master quest, and one of the requirements there is, as you just already said, so now there's probably going to be a lot of people never going to want to come to master quest. Because they've already made up their decision that nobody's going to remove their phone from them. And that's okay. And you're entitled to that. If you need to have that phone by you every single moment, everywhere you go, then that's what you need, right? And I most certainly will respect that. But that was not the point of the exercise. The point of the exercise is for you to see, number one, are you addicted to the device? And if you say, well, no, I'm not addicted to the device, well, are you willing to find out? Are you willing to play along with me and just find out? And what often happens, as Mickey just highlighted, is 99% of the people that join us in that level of a training, they end up having an experience with this. And at first it's upsetting, but at some point, a couple days later, they're like, holy cow, I had no freaking idea. I had no idea the hold, the energetic hold this device had on me. Then they start to have this experience that becomes quite freeing to them. And then it's almost like, no, you know what? Why don't you just keep the phone for a couple more hours? I'm starting to kind of like this right now, right? And not that we shouldn't have a phone. That's not the message. Not that we should never go on social media. If you want to go on social media, go on social media. Not that you should never check your inbox. That's not the message here at all. Rather, it's getting to that lower energy pattern of distraction. That the number one way of the ego is distraction. And if you want to get better at calming your ego down, at getting a better handle on your ego, if that is something that's of importance to you or of meaning to you at this juncture, then this is one of the places that you need to begin to explore, or at least I strongly suggest you start to explore, so that you can see where, okay, is this object, is this activity being used as a distraction? Or is this what I'm really to be doing? If it's the first and it's really an activity or an object that I'm using as a distraction, then the next question would be, is what are you distracting yourself from? Or what is it your ego has been able to influence through that lower energy pattern of distraction? What's going on here? What is it that you are so desperately possibly attempting to be distracted from? What's happening? So as a teacher, when I'm working with people, this is where we eventually land, is getting to that place. What is it? And that's where the breakthrough happens. That's where the massive, huge aha occurs for that individual. And in many cases, I mean, it blows their mind. I mean, literally blows their mind. Like, holy cow, I had no idea. Of course you didn't, because you have been unconscious towards all of this for who knows how long. Now you're conscious, which means now you can see it. And now that you can see it, more than likely, you're going to change it. Because now that you can see it, you can change it. See, that's the other part of the truth. Once you can see what's really going on here, you really can change this for the better. But until you're able to see it, you can't change it. So that's why it's so important. But in that actually seeing it, it can be a mind warp. I mean, it can really expand your mind where it can just blow it wide open. It's like, holy cow, and how did I not see this? And how long has this been going on for? And so on. Because that's again, the tricky part of one's ego is that as long as that pattern stays in place, that ego is having a heyday with us. And it'll continue to have a heyday with us. And while it's continuing to have a heyday with us, its influence over us and our choices is quite frankly just simply becoming stronger. Until you start to show up this way. You start to show up this way that we're highlighting in today's episode here as a result of Sarah's question, right? That you start showing up this way, all of a sudden everything starts to change and starts to change for the better. It really is an awesome thing.
It is an awesome thing. And this has just been an awesome episode. Great question from Sarah. I love all of this information. And for those of you that are going to be studying at home or going into an online meeting, whatever you're going to be doing in a learning realm, keep these things in mind, because Dale just hit the nail on the head. And if you want to learn more about the ways of your ego and other ways your ego might trick you, pick up the book, Being Called to Change, that Dale was referring to right behind him in the on his desk there, or by the tree. That book is available on Amazon, and there's an entire section devoted to explaining more ways that your ego can trick you. So check it out. Dale, thank you so much for this really fun episode and all the great information.
Oh, yes, you're so welcome. So welcome. And again, great question from Sarah there as well, because as always, once we get the question, then we proceed to answer the question, but then we often kind of go even a little further or go a little deeper or sometimes go in a whole nother area, but it's always connected back to the question somehow, some way. So that's a real cool thing too.
Absolutely. And I just have to add, if you guys do see a Master Quest training with Dale, do not be afraid of the turning your phone in part. Let me tell you, it will set you free. It is like, yes, you might be glad to get your phone back, but you will completely have this incredible experience at a higher level of teaching, but also realizing where, like, you didn't even know that you had an issue. So I do have to speak for the whole group. We were all blown away by what it did for us to have to check our phone in every day. And we did like get it back a few hours later. It wasn't like it was this evil thing that was happening. You know, it was truly a wonderful experience. So I just had to touch on that because I don't want to scare anyone away from the Master Quest experience. It is the most empowering, amazing experience ever. And having that happen with the phone is actually a real high point, even though it might not seem like it at first. So I just wanted to put that in there, Dale.
Yeah, very good. I'm glad you did.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. And if you found Dale's teachings helpful and you want to get more of them, then you might really like his free ebook that we have for you, 12 Simple Ways to Change Your Life in 30 Days. You can download it for free at dellhalloway.com/practices. That's dellhalloway.com/practices. In it, you'll find 12 simple ways explained to you in exact step-by-step fashion that will cause your life to move forward in the next month. Simply choose one of the practices, any one of them, do it for 30 days straight, and you'll see a new you begin to manifest. I am not kidding. Download your free copy today at dalehalaway.com/practices. Oh, and by the way, if you know anybody who might find this content helpful, please share it with them. Thanks so much, and I'll talk to you next time.